Well, good morning. Take out your Bibles this morning, and we're going to finish our series on personal Bible study this morning. And I'm excited about what we've been doing the past few weeks, but we're going to wrap it up this morning with one last aspect, which I think will be helpful for you to kind of kick off, or even to continue maybe in a way that you haven't before. The last few weeks, we've been talking about how we can study our Bible for ourselves, and we started out with observing what's in the Bible. Don't just read through it and miss it all. You have to pay attention to what's going on. You have to also put everything into its proper perspective. And so by doing that, we talked about several things. We talked about understanding the context of what you're reading, about looking at everything around it, what comes before, what comes after, what the book is talking about. We're going to talk a little bit about that again today with what we're going to touch on at the end here. We talked about the meanings of words. We have to know what words we're reading. We have to know the definitions of the words, because sometimes the entire verse or an entire chapter is based upon the understanding of a certain concept. We don't know what it is. We're not going to be able to understand it very much more, all right? So we have to look at, we have to observe what's in the text if we're going to understand it. And that went to the next week after that when we talked about interpretation, which goes from what does it say to what does it mean? What is it trying to communicate then? And in that we talked about what he's trying to teach us, making sure we're looking at it in a normal, plain way, looking at the rest of the Bible, the way that it talks about it, comparing Scripture with Scripture so that we know what Jesus, what God is saying about this topic, about this concept to us. And then last week we talked about the next step, which is the purpose of the Bible, which is how does this apply to my life? And so we talked about many things to look for, looking for promises, looking for principles, looking for examples that he's put there for us to glean from. And as we said last week, it's easy to get caught up into the trap of doing one or the other, which is all supposed to go together. There's a lot of Christians who study and they learn and they observe and they know more things, they increase their knowledge, but they don't ever apply it to their life. Then there's those who are applying the Bible to their life, but they're not actually taking the time to understand more of it or really understand what it is that they're applying. They're just applying a bunch of stuff they've heard from other people, and they're not studying for themselves. Both of them can be very problematic. The one because you're not really using the Bible for what it was intended for, and the other one because you're trying to apply something you're not entirely sure is actually what God is saying, which can be very dangerous as well. So you have to study the Bible for yourself, to understand it for yourself, but then to apply it to yourself. And as we finished last week, we talked about continuing to read it, continuing to memorize it, continuing to meditate on it. And I gave a couple challenges that if you're not currently working on something, trying to get it into your heart, that you should start. Find something that pastor says, or find something in one of your Bible reading and pull out of it and say, I'm going to put this inside of my heart. I'm going to memorize this. I'm going to internalize it. That way we continue to live our lives on it, because we're not always going to have a Bible with us. And we're not always going to know exactly which verse applies to the situation. But the more we're putting into our heart, the more readily available it will be for everyday life. Now, that is really the whole aspect of studying the Bible that I wanted to give to you. But I wanted to finish up this last week with something that's practical, which is the question, where do I start? Because I've given a lot of aspects about how we ought to study our Bibles, but a lot of us can look at our Bible and say, okay, now I kind of know what to do, but I don't know where to start. And so I said this last week when I finished up. When I was a kid, I knew I was supposed to study my Bible. I knew I was supposed to read my Bible. And I would often not continue that when I'm, you know, 7 or 8. And I would start. And every time I would start in Genesis 1. So I would open my Bible to Genesis 1, and I would start reading. That's not a bad thing. But, you know, judging by how many times I stopped and how many times I started again, I was super familiar with Genesis 1 through 10-ish. And then I would start again, and I would start back in Genesis 1. And then I would read for a few verses, and I'd read a little longer, and then I would stop, and it's like, I need to read my Bible again, Genesis 1. So, and the fact is, Genesis is a very fascinating book, but you know, Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy are some of the heaviest books in the entire Bible. And the fact is, I think Satan uses that to discourage Christians who are like, where do I start? Well, I guess I'll start at the beginning. So they start to read, and they start to study, and they're thinking, I don't know, I'll just stop. But I know I should read again, so I'm going to start at the beginning. And so we start at some of the most difficult passages in the Bible, where it's not really necessarily intended that that's what we do every time. There's a lot in the Bible we can study, and a lot of us don't really know where to begin. And so today, what I'm going to do is give several different ways to study the Bible. And in so doing, I would encourage you to try one of these if you have not already done so. Because some of us think that there's only really one aspect to study the Bible, and that's not necessarily true. So I'm going to give you several ways. My challenge to you this morning would be this. If there's one of these that you have not tried studying yet, I would encourage you to try studying it in this way if you haven't before. If you don't know where to start and you're not currently studying a part of the Bible, pick one of these and start an aspect of this. So we'll go through and you'll know what I mean. So number one, these are the different ways that we can study the Bible to kind of give us an idea where to start. Number one, a book study. A book study. Now, when I said that, I just realized that that made it sound like I meant pick a book out of the bookstore and study that and have a little book study with your friends. No, I mean find a book of the Bible and study that from start to finish. Now, this is what I did when I taught the last two Sunday school series, James and 1 Peter. I gave us a book study. From start to finish, we looked at the concepts and the teachings of the entire book of the Bible. And I did it on a short book. I didn't say, let's turn to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to study this verse by verse, because that would take forever. Not a bad thing, not necessarily the greatest place to start, though. And so if this is something that would be interesting to you to start with, I would very much encourage this. Now, everything in the Bible is from one divine author, okay? However, it is broken up into different books, which are by different people, which talk ever so slightly different, which has a different reason for being written at a different time, at a different place, for a different person, and during different circumstances. And so the theme and the purpose of the book will be different than the book next to it. God wrote all of it. It's all given by inspiration of God. But when each individual book was written, it had a specific purpose when it was given out. And so if we just treat the Bible, like I've said, we treat the Bible as a giant book of wise sayings, we're going to miss the individual purposes of different sections of it. And a book study helps you to put that into perspective. So, letter A, how do I go about that? Okay. Well, first of all, familiarize yourself with the contents of the book. So you know how you do that? Read it through a few times. So I would encourage you, if you're going to do this on a shorter book. Like 1 Peter and James are the ones I just did in Sunday school. They're not very long. They're just a few pages. I would encourage you, if you do this, to read through it a couple times, maybe a day, because it really is just a few minutes each time to go through. And familiarize yourself with what's going on in the book, because that's going to help you get an understanding about the whole concept as a whole. When we read it very slowly, we tend to break it up. When we read it through quicker or in one sitting, we tend to put it together. It's a letter. The people who read this the first time would have read it at one time. So there was a purpose going through the whole time. So familiarize yourself with the contents of the book. Letter B, discover the background of the book. The background of the book. Now for this, you might need some of those tools I was telling you about, maybe like a handbook or something. And some of you might have a reference Bible that might have the short background of the book at the very beginning. You go to the very beginning of the book of James, it might say, this was written by this guy during about this year to these people about this time, and just giving you the general idea about what's going on right beforehand. So find out who wrote it. That should be fairly easy, especially in the New Testament, you know. It's probably labeled by, some of the ones who aren't written by Paul are labeled by the person's name, like Peter, James, John. Those are all labeled by the person who wrote it. To who it was written. Most of Paul's writings are not labeled by his name, but to who he's writing to. So the Thessalonians, that was a church in Thessalonica. So that's a place. Philippians is Philippi. Galatians is Galatia. So these are written to people. And then find out who those people are. So are they Jewish people? Are they Gentile people? Did they just get saved? Did he just start the church, or has the church been there for a long time? Because that's going to change some things. So where did he write it even? Because where Paul is writing from may make some more sense about what he says. For example, when he writes to Timothy, he references the fact that he's in prison right now. And that changes the aspect of how he says some of those things. When he says, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith, he was finishing his course, but Timothy was starting it. So that gives a different perspective with that. Where did he write it? What circumstances were the person that he was writing to? What just happened in their life? Like when Peter, he writes to the people who were scattered. They were scattered because of persecution. This is their immediate context of what their life is. So that helps understand what he's saying. What were the circumstances of the person that was writing it? Like Paul, he was in prison. So discover the background of the book. What just went around it, okay? What is it generally talking about? Get the contents of the book. What goes around the book? And then letter C, discover the theme or purpose. The theme or purpose of the book. I think I only gave you one blank. Okay, the theme or purpose of the book. This is especially true in a shorter book like we've been doing. A book might talk about a lot of different things, but there is a reason why. Once you understand who's writing it and who they're writing to and what's happening right now, it kind of helps you understand about what the purpose of the book is. For example, part of the background of the book of James was that it was one of the very first, if not the very first book that was ever written to the Christian church in the New Testament. They didn't have Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. They didn't have all the writings of Paul. So this is the very first time they have something about how to live the Christian life. And so that adds a different aspect to it. And so the theme or the purpose of the book as a whole is going to be put in that perspective. Let me give you an example of that. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about a lot of stuff. Now, if you forget the fact that a book is written for a purpose, it was a letter from Paul to these people. If you forget about the fact that it was one letter to them, then we might miss the fact that there is a general purpose and a theme that goes through the whole book. Because Corinthians talks about tongues, it talks about sign gifts, it talks about taking communion, it talks about marriage, it talks about suing people, it talks about standards, it talks about the resurrection of Christ. All kinds of stuff. But if we realize, as we read at the very beginning of the book, that Paul says, I should be writing to you as people who could be teachers, I should be writing to you as mature, but I'm writing to you as carnal people, we realize that the purpose of his book is he's writing to a church that was young, by the way, and was getting off and was being consumed by the world around them, getting their philosophies, their ideas, their ways of doing things, and meshing it with the way that the church ought to be run. So they were being a church, but they were being a carnal church. So they would take communion, but they would do it in such a way where some people would bring a lot of food because they were rich and wouldn't give it to the poor people. So he says, no, you're all one body of Christ. Then they were getting the philosophies of the world where they said there is no resurrection, there's no life after death, and they were starting to teach that in their church. And he says, no, but if Christ isn't risen, if there's no resurrection of the dead, that means Christ isn't risen. But if Christ isn't risen, then our faith is in vain. So the whole purpose of 1 Corinthians is about teaching a carnal church. A Christian who is a Christian, but he's living exactly like the world. And so all of those things are part of that same purpose. If we understand that purpose, it makes more sense why he talks about so many different stuff. Okay? So find the purpose that glues the book together, and everything's put in perspective of that. Letter D, I strongly encourage you, it doesn't have to be super technical, but I strongly encourage you to outline the book. That doesn't mean you have to be super detailed, but it does mean try to find the pieces of the book, the parts of the book. Okay, well, this is when he's talking about this. This is when he's talking about this. This part's when he's talking about this. I gave you an example in the book of Romans. Outlining the book kind of helps you understand the flow of thought, where he's going, where he's been. Because if we're just reading it as wise sayings, as a big book of things that I can put in a fortune cookie, which is what a lot of Christians treat the Bible, then we're gonna miss some of the reasons. It helps you understand the flow of thought. It helps you identify the purpose of the individual verses. So when you read a verse and you get a good principle out of it, if you realize where you are, so to speak, in the book, with what he's trying to accomplish with the theme of the book, it's going to help you understand that verse more. Okay, it'll help you see what areas about the topic that God is concerned about. So if you see the theme of the book, this is what God is saying about this theme, then the pieces are what God is saying individually about the purpose of the book. I gave you an example of the book of Romans. I would have to say that the book of Romans is about salvation. Now, I don't know if that would concur with Pastor, but if I could put it all into one theme, it would be basically about salvation. But then if I outline it into its pieces, then I realize where I am in this book is what he's talking about salvation in this part. So I gave you an example. The first like 8 chapters of Romans is all doctrinal. It's telling you about how salvation, you know, works. This is what it's teaching. This is how Jesus did it. This is why he did it, you know, and telling you how it works. But it's different pieces than that. He spends the first 3 chapters telling you why everybody's guilty. He tells you about how everybody, the heathen people that are all ridiculous and they do all these wicked things, that they're guilty. But then in chapter 2, he talks about the people who say, oh, I know you shouldn't do this and this, but they do it the same. So hypocrites are guilty. And then he goes into the next one about how Hebrew people are guilty. Because he moves to the Jewish people who thought that they were all hot stuff and they had everything under control. But he says, even you're guilty as well. So he spends the beginning telling everybody that they're guilty. Now, if you're reading through those verses and you're in chapters 1-3, then you'll know when you read a verse, this is generally what he's accomplishing right now. So it's put into that perspective. You don't have to be as technical as this, although this helps me with the book of Romans. But this is the very first thing that I did when I started to study through James and Peter. The very first thing I did is I read through it a bunch of times to get an idea about what the book is about. What is it talking about? And then seeing what glues the whole book together. And then I broke it back apart and said, now what does he talk about in this book? Well, he talks about this, he talks about that, and he talks about this, and talks about that. And so I find the pieces of it, and then I broke it up into individual pieces. And you know what I did? I preached each piece as a different sermon. Those were my lessons. There were the different pieces that I pulled out. Well, he talks about this here. And this is what he's accomplishing around here, so I'm going to remind them about this. But this is a message he's trying to get across. So that was one of my messages. So it helped me break it up into its pieces so I knew what he was talking about where. I'll leave that alone. You can look at that later. Now, once you do that, the last thing you would need to do is then, letter E, especially with a short book, you can study it verse by verse. Study verse by verse. So this is when you apply a lot of the things that we've been talking about the past couple weeks. What is... You're reading through, it's like, I get what he's saying, but I don't know what this word means. Well, that's when you look up the definition of the word, and that's when you understand that verse better, which helps you understand what it is that he's saying in that part of the book, about the whole theme of the book. So you study that, you study the context, you remember where you've just been. By the way, if you outline it, it's going to be a lot easier to understand the context of the book because you just realize where he's going and where you've just been because you see the purpose of each section. So when you study it verse by verse, all you do is you do what we've been talking about the last few weeks. You observe what's in the text. Don't just gloss over it. Ask questions. Why did he say that? What is he talking about with that? If it's the normal plain reading, that's probably what he means. Then compare that with other parts in the Bible, what he says about that. And a lot of times, other parts may even be the complementary sections of what you're reading. So that's when you study it verse by verse. Glean from it what God has for you then. Then find the promises. Find the principles. Find the examples that he's leaving for you to glean from. And then as you get to the end, you'll see the whole book in proper perspective. Now, I'll leave that alone, but that's kind of a general idea of how you would study a book. And if you choose to do that, that's been one of my favorites. If you choose to do that, start with something short. Start with something simple, because it'll be easier to kind of to practice that. First Peter was relatively easy in some ways, although it had some of the more difficult passages in it, even at the same time. But as you get used to it and as you practice that, it becomes easier as you go along. And James was probably one of the easiest ones because it was very practical. And so pick something short, probably from the New Testament, and try that one. Try understanding what's going on. Outline it. Pull its pieces apart and then study it slowly. You can spend weeks on a short book of the Bible that you would read in about 10 minutes, but you could spend weeks gleaning things out of it. That doesn't mean you have to be done tomorrow. I would use this as a longer process. I'll talk about that later. So that's a book study. Number two, another idea of how to do this is a topical study. A topical study. By the way, each one of these are things that I've had sermon series on. And so these are ways that I've already studied the Bible, and they are different. A topical study is basically is completely different than a book study. A book study is studying everything that's in that book. Whether or not it's about one topic you were more interested or not, you want to see what he's trying to communicate in that book, in the letter. But a topical study is finding something specific, an idea or a concept in the Bible, and what does the Bible as a whole say about this concept, rather than what concepts does this book talk about. It's kind of the other idea of it. So letter A, first thing you have to do is you have to select a topic. Okay, don't just open your Bible and say, I will study the Bible topically. You can't do that. The whole Bible is about a lot of things, okay? So you have to start somewhere. Don't just be random. Be specific, okay? You can pick a doctrinal topic, for example. So I did a whole series on doctrine a couple years ago. A little year and a half ago is when we finished, I think. I don't know. It was a while ago. And I touched on different areas of doctrine. The reason why the Bible gives those things to us is so we understand God more. That's what I talked about last week when I said there's some things that we can build our life on. He gives us those truths so that we'll understand what to do with them, because we have to know truth in order to build our life on it. So if you're interested in something, go to my series of doctrine. You can find all those different topics. In fact, there's some of them out there in the lobby. If you look on the back, there's all those different areas of it. So find something about the Holy Spirit, for example. What does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit and his work in my life? Because that's supposed to be practical. He gives that to us so that we know how to build our life and live our daily life. So what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit in my life? What does the Bible say about salvation? Not just for getting saved, but what does the Bible say about my next step? How do I live the salvation life? What different areas of the Bible talk about what he wants from me now in relationship to what he's given me as salvation? Something like that. Find something doctrinal. Maybe even find a word study. Study the word grace or peace. Study a concept that's given and communicated by a word that continually comes up in the Bible. And you can study through that. I'm gonna get to how to do that. Or you can select a practical study, like your relationship to the government, what the Bible says about you and the government, what the Bible says you and authority, what the Bible says about you and alcohol, what the Bible says about you and other people in your relationships. Find something that's a practical way that the Bible talks about. Okay, so pick a topic. Now, letter B. Then find as many places in the Bible that speak about it. As many places that speak about it. You can use a concordance, you can use a handbook, and you can use even a topical textbook, like I said the other week. A topical textbook is a textbook for this. So if you were looking up grace, you could find the word grace, and it would give you all the different aspects of it and all the different verses that it appears. Okay, so find the place in the Bible that talks about it. Even you can search for a word. You can do that in a concordance. You can do that on an app on your phone even. You can search for that English word. If you're doing a word study, search for grace, and it'll pull all the verses up that have the word grace in it. Search for the word. Search for variations of the word, even, because there's sometimes where a word might come up in several different ways. So if you're talking about trials, you might look up the word temptations. You might look up the word afflictions. You might look up the word trials, different ways, tribulations, different aspects that word would come up. If you look at a topical textbook, it might pull out those variations of the word for you. Anyway, so find as many places that speak about it. Then, letter C, study each passage individually. How? Like we've been talking about the past few weeks. Look at the context. What is he talking about right before this? Look at the definitions of the words. This is where a lot of doctrine gets messed up. Doctrine is, by nature, it's a topical study. What does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? What does the Bible say about salvation? What does the Bible say about angels? What does the Bible say about end times? It's a topical study. It's not studying the book. It's studying that area and all the things the Bible talks about it. The reason why doctrine gets messed up is because people don't properly look at the Bible when they find the passage that talks about it. So they'll do this. They'll say they pick a topic. They want to study this. They find the place where the Bible talks about it, and they pull that verse out, and they say, well, this is what the Bible says here. No, because when you are studying topically, you will find yourself in the middle of a book. And that book has its own purpose, its own theme, and its own reason. You don't have to completely do a book study for every single passage, but look at what's going on around it. Because sometimes a word or a phrase or a verse might look a little different all by itself, if we don't look at what just was said before that. And a lot of times it's not as hard as we try to make it sound. Sometimes we just need to read what just went on right before that, and it will make it make more sense, or it will make it look a lot different than we think it will at first glance. So look at the context. Look at the definitions of the word. Study the way we've been talking about the past few weeks and apply it to those individual passages. Then, this is kind of an optional thing, but it will help you put in perspective. Letter D, record and organize everything about the topic that you find. So if you just say, I'm going to talk about grace. Yeah, that's okay. Great. Look up where the Bible uses the word grace. And when you find what the Bible says about grace, put that down somewhere. Write it down. Put it in a different place. And then try to take all those pieces you find and put them into a flow of thought. What does the Bible say about grace? How does he buy me grace? What does grace do for me for salvation? What does grace do for me in my everyday life? How am I supposed to live by grace? And put all those different aspects and kind of organize them together. Then you can see a picture of what the Bible talks about this topic. That's why I said that's a very important, like I said, about money the other week. If we just look at one area the Bible says about money, we might see money itself to be very evil. If we see only one area, we'll see that God wants us to live for money. But when we put those two things in perspective, he says God wants us to not live for money, but he wants us to be responsible with it. And once we put those things together on the same place, we'll see God's picture of that concept. Now, I would encourage you to do this. This is what I would do in a youth group recently. I've been going through the book of Proverbs. And I've been trying to stay mostly in the same book. And so every week has been an area that the Bible talks about. So we've talked about relationships. We talked about laziness. We've talked about the strange people, which there's a strange woman, and there's also other areas in the Bible talking about men coming to us as well. We talk about a lot of areas in the book of Proverbs, and we study it topically. So rather than staying in one passage, we've seen all the areas that he talks about that same thing. And so we get God's picture about what he means by it. So a topical study. Number three. Yes, please.
When you're studying, remember that there's 1,500 pages or so in your Bible. And this is the mind of God. And we're not going to understand the entire mind of God the first time through the book. And so when you sit down and you study this Bible, you're going to do a topical study. And you say, well, I pretty well exhausted that. But the fact is, it's going to come around. You study a particular book. You know as well as I do, you've heard all that. Some of you have been saved for many, many years. You've heard one preacher go through the book of, let's say, the book of James, and got all this out of it, and then you heard someone else go through the book of James, and they got a whole other set of things out there. That's because there's layer upon layer upon layer of meaning in the Bible. And in fact, if you go through and look at commentators, remember that what you read from that commentator on that passage was what the Lord was working on them on that day when they wrote it down, and that's not the only thing that's in that book. So as he mentioned the other week, you ask the Lord to give the Holy Spirit promises to teach you. You make sure you go to him, you rely on him, but then you go through and do what you need to do to know what the word means, to know the context. This is when grammar from English class in high school works, to be honest with you. All those things are part of it. But just remember, you're not going to get everything the first time. And if you're like me, I'm kind of OCD. I want to do everything. That's why the messages are so long, because I want to give it to y'all. But the fact is, we're not going to get it all at one time. And so don't say, well, I failed because I forgot that, I missed this. No. And the fact is, over the years, having studied topically, having studied expositorally, you're going to see all these different things, and eventually it all coagulates and makes more sense. You've got to take time, patience. That's what I'm going to add to your faith. I'm sorry for that.
No, it's okay. I was going to mention something about that at the end, but it'll be shorter now. All right, number three, a biographical study. Biography, so a person. This is also one of my favorites. One of the reasons why is because this is really where last week I was talking about examples. God gives you stories for examples to live by, to know what to do, what not to do. But also, this is one of my favorites because this is where, personally, where I see a lot of stories, so to speak, get lost. because a lot of stories are centered around people and what they did. And there are a lot of people who get lost in the Bible because we're kind of overshadowed by the major characters, so to speak. And so there's a lot of principles and examples that are there for us, but we usually miss it because we're not paying attention to the people. So this is where we notice an individual person. So this is kind of what Pastor's been doing the last, he's been kind of meshing this one and a book study on Sunday nights. We've been talking about Abraham. He's been walking through it, but he's been focusing on the people and their life. But he's been going through it as a book as a whole. But I like to do this also by finding an individual character, and sometimes it can be very small. Let me say how to go about this. So letter A. When you're studying a person in the Bible, this would be more where you apply the Old Testament, because the New Testament is mostly written as letters. And there's people in there, but they're written as a letter from one person to another. The Old Testament has a lot of stories, and it's more of a narrative about what happened. That would be true in the Gospels as well. But find every place, letter A, find every place that they're mentioned. Find every place that they're mentioned. It's like, well, that's daunting because there's a lot of places. Well, it's not depending on the character you pick. When I first went into, came in here, I started my doctrine series about 6 weeks after I first started teaching this class. And the very first thing I did is I did a few of these because I could start them or stop them whenever, because there's a million characters in the Bible. That's not actually true, but there's a lot of characters in the Bible. And so you can just pick up and drop off whenever. So it was an intermediate thing I was doing for a few weeks. And I would find some of the characters that are more obscure, the ones we actually don't usually pay attention to, and found their whole story. So what first thing I did is I found every place that person was mentioned in the story. Now, be careful with that, because a name is a name, okay? If you were to look up a certain name, you might find them throughout the Bible. That doesn't mean that they lived for 700 years. It might mean that there's another person by that same name, okay? So pay attention to that. The Bible is written over a long course of time, but find every place where that character is mentioned. And letter B, when you do that, follow their entire history. So find everything that they did. And like I said, for some characters, everything the Bible tells about them might not be that much. The whole history we know about them might be a really pretty easy snapshot to take a hold of. One of my favorite places to do this is in 1 and 2 Samuel. I don't know why, it's one of my favorite historical sections. Part of it is because it takes a lot of chapters, but it's actually over a very short time span. And so a lot of the characters are the same over those two whole books, because it only takes place over the course of about 80 years or so. So there's a lot that goes on. And so it's basically one large generation of people. So some people who are young at the beginning are very old at the end, but you see a lot that goes on. But in the process of that, a lot of names are mentioned. And a lot of those names get overlooked. But if you actually pay attention to that individual person, you'll find a narrative of their history and their story that you might not even have ever noticed if you didn't just follow them for a minute. Now, you still have to find out what's going on in the story. Why is he saying what's just happened right now? But follow their entire history and relationship to the story. And then, letter C, do what we've been doing the past couple weeks, glean principles from their life. Glean principles from their life. Just because they did it doesn't mean it was right. Just because they did it doesn't mean it was wrong. Take the principles out of their life. So I gave a bunch of them to you. Number one, notice elements of success. What did they do well, and what was the aspect that led to that? Number two, notice elements of weakness. Where did that person seem to fall? Where did that person seem to mess up? And in process of that, number three, notice their mistakes and consequences. Mistakes and consequences. These are easy principles that God gives to us. He did this. This is what happened. You might not get this if you do this, but you do know that this is not good to do. So you don't want this, don't do this. So notice the mistake and then see the consequence. He gives that to you so that you can see what you should not do. Note number four, pay attention to rebukes. Rebukes. Did I give all these to you? Okay. Pay attention to rebukes. So when a lot of times God will specifically rebuke them for something. Just because he doesn't openly rebuke him doesn't mean that he was pleased with it. But if he does, that means he wanted you to know that he was not pleased with that. Notice rebukes. But then letter five, number five, sorry. Notice righteousness and blessing. By the way, you're probably going to find all of this in the same character. No character is perfect. Even the characters that don't have any sins mentioned about them doesn't mean that they're perfect either. So most of the characters, you're going to see all of this. You're going to see their mistakes, you're going to see their rebukes, you're going to see their consequences, but you're also going to see righteousness and blessing that they had. Notice number six, commendation, which is the opposite of a rebuke. It's when God commended them. A commendation, when he says, this was good. Like when God rebukes Abraham, but then later he says, then he was my friend. He believed me, and it was counted him for righteousness. So he commended him because of some of the steps that he did take. Number seven, notice some perils avoided. Perils avoided. This is when you have to stop and think about the story. Suppose that story had been different. What was he really close to doing that he didn't do? What decisions did he have the option to make that they didn't make? And what consequences that other people have had that he didn't have? Pay attention to what's not there almost as much as what is there, because it's, a person is defined by the decisions that they made, and they always have more than one. And there's some things that they avoided, and pay attention to when they actually could have gone a different way. That's one of my favorite things to watch. I was like, you know what, they could have done this, but they didn't. They did this. And so you can see perils that are avoided, but you can also see blessings that are missed. So pay attention to what's not there. Pay attention to what they didn't have to go through, and pay attention to what they even didn't get. Sometimes he says, I will give you this if. But they didn't get that because they didn't meet the requirement. They didn't meet the condition. So pay attention to those, because he puts those in there purposely as well. Now, last one I'm just going to mention in passing. Number four. This is kind of an aspect of seeing the Bible better as a whole. So number four, a historical study. A great place to start with this, you're not going to get this all at one time, but the Bible is broken up into its types of books. And so it's helpful as you go through the Bible to learn what the history of the Bible is. One of the greatest places to start with this is to read the Bible through chronologically once. We have those. Every year we've been doing that the past few years. We give the Bible reading schedules out in the lobby. We do one that's the biblical order, which is you start in Genesis, you end in Revelation, you go in the order that you'll find it page by page. The other one's chronological, which is where you go through the Bible through the timeline, which means you might jump to the prophets when you're reading through the Kings. And so that'll help you understand the context more. I'm going to leave it at that. I would encourage doing that once or twice through the next few years if you haven't done that before, because it'd be a help to you. Now, last thing I wanted to say was this, number five. Always be studying. That's not the last thing, second to last thing. Always be studying. My tip to you is this, that you always are studying the Bible in one of these ways. Because you shouldn't be saying, oh, I studied the Bible now, so I'm done. Well, you're not done. As Pastor was saying, you're going to see things continually throughout the years. It doesn't mean you fail because you haven't seen it already. But if you continue to learn them, then you're continuing to grow in the Bible, and that's an okay thing. Personally, I do this. You don't have to do this, but I'm able to do this because I teach a lot. I read through the Bible personally through just normal. I just read through the Bible. So I'm reading it. I'm constantly going through and getting the Bible as a whole. But I'm also teaching lessons several times a week, and most of my lessons are in one of these ways to study the Bible. So I'm not only reading my Bible, but I'm also studying very deeply in addition to that, smaller pieces. I would encourage you to do a variation of that, because if you can get lost in the forest for the trees, but you can also miss the trees for the forest if you do only one, and that's my personal opinion. So if you're just reading through the Bible, you might miss a lot, but if you're just studying through the Bible, you're not putting it all into its, you're not seeing it all as a big picture either. So I would encourage reading through the Bible, maybe if you do a morning and a night thing. Just read through the Bible in the morning and then maybe study a little bit deeper on one of these areas and start studying through one of them on a different time of the day. Or go back and forth depending on what your time is. But always be studying the Bible. Don't be finding places where you don't feel like you have to study anymore. And then vary it a little bit. If you study through a book and you feel like, wow, I got that understanding a little bit better, then move on and study something different then after that. So you're studying it continually. Now, number six, and I'll finish with this. This is what I was going to say before. Re-study. Re-study. You may feel like you have exhausted what you studied. I can't see anything else in there. That's okay. You're not going to see it all the first time. But suppose you're reading through something and you really felt like you got the whole concept. And then you're reading through and you're studying something different. And you learn some more truths. Cool. And then you reread through the passage you've already studied before. You might see it all in a different perspective. You've never seen it before based upon the fact that you've already been studying other areas of the Bible. I have a few illustrations of that, but I don't have time to give them. But the more that you study the Bible, the more things will continue to make sense, even in the same places you've already been there. Even today, not as if I know that much, but even today, I continue to study through the Bible, and there's passages I study, there's passages I preach on, and I really feel like I got a good hold on it, and I'll give it, and then I'll hear somebody else say something, I'll read somebody something else somewhere else, I'll be studying through a different book, a different time, and then I'll go back to that same place, and I'll see that, I was like, how in the world did I miss that? Because you continue to understand the Bible more, and you continue to see more and more from the same places. The Bible is not as shallow as the world tries to make it. It's as shallow by the people who take it in a shallow way. But those who actually delve themselves into it will find it's an ever-deepening well. You can never get to the bottom of it. So continue to study it. Don't get into the trap of thinking you have it all under control now. Okay, continue to restudy. I'll leave it at that. I'm excited about what we're going to be doing next week. And I'll announce that as we get a little bit closer here. But I'm praying between two things still. I've been studying through a couple different places, and I'm still not settled exactly on where God wants me to go. So I'll tell you then as we go. It's between a book study and a biographical study, just so you know, if that kind of puts it in perspective. But we'll be starting that next week. So I'm excited about what the Lord's been doing this. And so we'll look forward to what he's doing next. We'll pray. We'll have a couple quick prayer requests and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for giving us your word. I pray that you would help each one of us in here to continue to learn it ever more for ourselves, that we would learn it even deeper and greater so that not only we can grow in our Christian walk, but we can give it to others. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us not to be living in the milk of the word, but living in the meat so that we can be teachers as well. So we look forward to what you'll do with every person in this room. Pray that you would meet these prayer requests we're about to hear from in just a moment, that you would meet those according to your will. We love you. We praise it in your name. Amen.